Good morning and welcome as we gather together to sing praises to our Lord and our God and our Savior and receive from Him the gifts of forgiveness and life everlasting. Let us open our service this morning with the singing of our first hymn, Christ the Lord of Hosts Unshaken.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, August 9th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Casey Jones. The opening hymn is number 521, Christ the Lord of Hosts Unshaken, hymn number 521 in the Lutheran service book. The family of Dean Mox is sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of Dean's birthday on August 12th.
Let us rise. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I love you, O Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies.
The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me.
The cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me.
In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, preserve us from all harm and danger, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of Job, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it, on what words bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no further. Here shall your proud ways be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended all the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the sacrament of the altar, what is the sacrament of the altar?
It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend to heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, 'Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly you are the Son of God. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Are there any children present who'd like to come forward for a children's message? You are invited to do so at this time. Well, good morning, everyone. Cadence. When was the last time you walked on a lake? Never! Never! And Bo and Colt, have you ever walked on top of a river before? No. You know, I thought about asking people if you've ever walked on water. And I know you guys. I've met you before. And one of you would say, yes, I have. And I say, when? And you say, well, there was a puddle outside in the street and I walked on it. And I'd have to say, well, I guess you're right. You did walk on water during that stomping on the puddle time. But when we talk about walking on the water, and I meant like deep water where your feet can't touch the bottom, we can't do that, can we? If we were going to be out on the lake or on the river, what would we have to have on? Life jackets, that's right. Always a good idea to have your life jacket on because you might get overcome by the water. You might get overcome by the current, and it could take you down and bump you into logs or weeds or something like that, and you want to be able to float on the water, so you want to have that life jacket on. But Jesus, we find him today walking on the water. Now, what do you make of that? Just by his will, just by his thinking. Whenever he put the foot down, that became solid. Wow. This shows us that he has power and authority over creation. It's like in the other story about the disciples being in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, what does he say to the wind and the waves? He says, stop. Stop. Be still. And the wind stops blowing and the waves stop moving. And that shows us that Jesus, as the Word of creation, the Word of God made flesh, has authority over the creation. He can make the creation do the things that it normally doesn't do. And what do we call it when he makes creation do things that we normally don't do? What's the word that we use to describe that? Takes, you know, a couple loaves of bread and a few fish and feeds 5,000 people with it. Takes six big jars of water and changes it into wine. What do we call that when he does that? I think we call it a miracle, don't we? Jesus raises the dead. He gives health to the sick, all by the power of his word. Now, when Jesus speaks to us today, he speaks to us through his word in the Holy Bible. He speaks to us through his called ministers of Jesus, of himself. So when I stood up this morning and I said, in the place of, in the stead, that's what instead means, instead, in the place of, and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. Who is speaking there? Whose words is the pastor speaking? Jesus' words. Right, he's speaking Jesus' words to you. So if Jesus can make the water solid, if Jesus can walk on the water, if Jesus can change water into wine, if Jesus can make the wind and the waves stop going bonkers and crazy, if Jesus can raise the dead, can the word of Jesus forgive your sins? Yeah, absolutely. So should you ever doubt Jesus' word? No, we don't doubt Jesus' word. When he says he will do something, he will do that very thing. And when he says, your sins are forgiven, that means they're gone. They no longer exist. God remembers them no more. And if God remembers your sin no more, how should you act? All sad and gloomy that you've committed sin? Say, no, Pastor, no. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice. If God remembers that sin no more, then I am going to do my best to remember that sin no more. And I'm going to do my best to not commit that sin again. But if I commit that sin again, what is Jesus going to do? Is he going to come up to me and pop me in the forehead? No. Is he going to come up and say, stand up again? Yeah, exactly. He's going to come to me and say, stand up. You're sinking down. You're sinking down. You're sinking down. Stand up again. Stand up again. And that's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to us and says. So we take Jesus at his word, and we trust Jesus' word. And his word to us today is, you are forgiven. We pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving us all of our sins. And we pray that we may trust your word that our sins are forgiven and go forth and live as your forgiven people. In your precious name we ask these things. Amen. Kids, thank you for coming down. If you would, head back to your families and we continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 752, Be Still, My Soul, hymn number 752 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
the sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then they got into the boat and the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our text for this morning follows hot on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000. Well, more than 5,000. As the scripture says, the number of men were 5,000 besides the women and the children. Now, I think we would call that a mountaintop experience, something where you experience a joy and a glory that doesn't normally happen during your everyday life. Some 150 gallons of wine made at a wedding feast were small potatoes next to this feast made by Jesus with the bread and the fishes. The disciples see Jesus do something no man can do. They get a peek into Jesus' power with the loaves and the fish, he feeds many thousands of people. And that's pretty awesome. It's one of those instances where people want to press in on Jesus and they want to make him a king, but not the kind of king Jesus came to be. They want him to be a bread king, a king who satisfies all their earthly desires and all their earthly needs and takes care of all their earthly problems. So at the end of the meal, Jesus does what the disciples wanted him to do in the first place, which was dismiss the crowds. Then Jesus makes an unexpected move. He asked the disciples to get in the boat and row ahead of him to the other side. So the disciples were to leave Jesus there on the far side of the sea and proceed on without him. Now Matthew doesn't tell us either the reason why Jesus did this, neither does Matthew tell us the disciples' reaction to Jesus' request that they get in the boat and start heading to the other side of the sea ahead of him. What we do know is that immediately Jesus set the disciples to work, the work of rowing back across the sea. Now, what did they think of leaving Jesus? Who knows? Who knows? The sea, though. There is the sea. The sea with monsters lurking under your feet. The sea that represents the uncontrollable power and might and chaos of our existence. The sea, as the old map said, "There be dragons here." The sea, the home of Leviathan and Rahab, the great serpent of chaos. Now we have no indication that the disciples were afraid when they were on the boat or that they were really in any sort of distress. They were working hard, and John in his gospel relates to us that they had, in the hours they were on the water, only gotten about 3 to 4 miles into their journey. So they were laboring, but they weren't getting very far. And we all know what that feels like, whether it's in our secular lives, working hard but not seeming to make any ground, or in our sacred lives, our spiritual lives. Lots of hard work, but seeming to not gain much ground. Like the wind and the waves of the sea, the mythical monsters that are there, we seem to have our own spiritual monsters against us. A dragon that impedes our progress. And it is written in Revelation chapter 12, which our opening hymn reflected. "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for him in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." And again it is written in Revelation chapter 13, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its heads." And that great dragon, the deceiver of the nations, is thrown down to earth. And with him came all his fallen angels, as the heavenly messenger told Daniel. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, the chief prince of our people, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. So anyway, there is work to be done. There is work to do. And there are dragons also. And the disciples are out laboring on the sea, and somewhere between 4 and 6 in the morning, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Now what do we see here? The word of creation makes the entire creation submit to his will. With each step, just by his will, Jesus rearranges the molecules under his feet and makes solid ground as he walks across the top of the water. And when he lifts his foot, those molecules revert to water molecules, and they just simply melt back into the sea. The importance here is that Jesus will later take the bread of the Passover meal. And he will break the bread and say, "This is my body." Then he will take the cup of the wine in the Passover meal and he will say, "This is my blood." Now, if the Jesus who says to the wind and the waves, "Quiet, be still," and the Jesus who rearranges earth so he can walk on it, rearranges the water so he can walk on it, says, "This is my body, this is my blood," then we can be confident that it is exactly what Jesus says it is. We also see Jesus subduing chaos and making the uncontrollable obedient to his will. The disciples are scared, yes, they're scared because they think Jesus is a ghost or some type of apparition. And in their fear, they cry out. But Jesus does not let them fret. Here's our second immediately. In their labor, in their fear, Jesus immediately says, "Take heart, be of good courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now at this point we might think that Peter is being bold in his faith. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you." But what is Peter really doing? He's really doubting that the Lord, that it's actually Jesus out there on the water. He is doubting Jesus' word. "Give me proof," he says, "that it's you. Call me out to you so that I too may walk on the water." Jesus doesn't upbraid Peter. He just simply says to Peter, "Come." One word. Come. Peter walks out on the water. And he walks to Jesus. But feeling the wind whipping around him and seeing the waves thrashing in front of him, he begins to doubt. He gets scared. And for the second time he doubts. He takes his attention off of Jesus. And he puts his attention on all the turmoil and the trouble and the chaos surrounding him. And what does he do? He begins to sink. And then he cries out to Jesus to save him. And does Jesus say? Does he say, "Have you learned your lesson yet?" He doesn't say that. He rescues Peter and gets him a nickname, almost gives him a nickname right there in the, after the rescue. He says, "Oh, you little faith." Right? Not rock man this time, not man of rock, but it is little faith. "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" When both Jesus and Peter are in the boat, the wind ceased and all the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The disciples had seen Jesus feed thousands. They had seen him walk on the water. They had seen him rescue Peter. And they have experienced the sea obey him. And being familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, they worship him as the Son of God. What was likely in their head? Psalm 107, "He stilled the storm to a whisper and the waves of the sea were hushed." Psalm 93, "Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." Psalm 89, "You rule the raging of the sea, and when its waves rise, you still them." And then from Isaiah 43, verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and though through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." We're seeing something. We're going to take something away from this morning. We're going to walk away with a point. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we start to sink. And Jesus is there to rescue and to save us. And what a point are we also bringing this to? We've been fed by Jesus. We've been fed by Jesus in more ways than one. We have been fed with the Word of God. We have been fed with the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the altar. We have, each and every one of us, seen the miracle of Jesus feeding us. We, each of us, all of us, have been set to work on the sea of this life. Our congregation has been given a mission, and that mission is to spread the reign of God the Lord, to spread the message of the forgiveness of sins in the blood and merit of Jesus, to proclaim the one true God to the community that is around us. And does it seem like the ancient dragon, the serpent, and his evil angels are against us? Well, it should seem like that, because they are. And should we be afraid of the work that is set before us? No, we shouldn't be afraid of the work that is set before us. The disciples weren't afraid of the wind and the waves as they rowed across the sea. And we shouldn't be afraid of being buffeted by the chaos of life or the opposition and the deceptions of the enemy, that great dragon. We, like the disciples, keep rowing on the sea. We keep rowing against the wind. Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. But like the disciples, we hang in there. And in this case, we should not be like Peter, who doubts Jesus' words and doubts among the turmoil that he was in. But even when we are scared, when our sin seems insurmountable, and when even we, like Peter, could be called by the diminutive, "Oh, you little faith," then we still trust Jesus. We must trust Jesus. And when we start to sink, we cry out, "Lord, save me." We think of the hymn, "What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this? Oh my soul, oh my soul. Oh, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul." When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. Trust the words of Jesus. For it is Jesus who says, "Lo, I am with you always." Trust the command of Jesus. Go and make disciples, and he will be with you every step of the way. Is running a congregation and a school hard work? Yeah, it is. Are we quitters? Nope. Are we doubters? No to that one, too. Are we going to be in there swinging on the Lord's side? Sure thing. Yes, we are. And when and if we are little faith, we trust that the Lord will still the wind, and we will keep rowing to the far shore of that land that we call the promised land. And when we get there, we will have all the peace that we ever desired. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord our God, we do not presume to know your ways or inform your judgment. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may know your Son by faith. Give us wisdom that we may trust in your word amid the stormy seas of this mortal life and be safely delivered from all danger. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, you send pastors so that we may hear of your mercy for us. Continue to raise up men to serve. Bless our seminaries with faithful teachers and students, that the good news may be proclaimed, heard, and believed in every place. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, bless all Christian homes with your presence. Make them places of peace and refuge in Christ. Strengthen all married couples in their union as husband and wife, so that their relationship might be a reflection of you and your church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Gracious Lord, you stand over all creation. Speak peace to the nations that war and violence. Speak peace to the nations that war and violence may end. Raise up good and faithful leaders who will act justly and protect the weak, the vulnerable, and the unborn from exploitation and oppression. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
God of compassion, teach us to make our requests known to you and to be anxious for nothing. Send your healing hand upon the sick, including Teresa Ricart, as she has returned home from the hospital. Guard her and all who need your healing touch with your peace in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
O Lord our God, be our light in darkness, our strength in weakness, our courage in fear, and our peace in distress. Speak to us by the voice of your word, that we may call upon you in the day of trouble and confess your saving name before all people. Hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We rise for the singing of the offertory. In your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Closing hymn is number 817, Earth and All Stars, hymn number 817 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Check your Zion's Light for the happenings and the activities going on here at church. We do remember that we have August 13th Backpack Night out at school. And then August 16th in the evening, a worship service, a service of evening prayer for the beginning of the school year. And that's for all schools, whether it's our school or whether it's, you know, CEL, WLB, NHM, New Holland, Middletown, all schools in our, so we have anybody who would like to come is welcome to come to that service. May the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.